whenever anybody wants to start something new, the first thing that they do is they try to get support from people in powerful places. I know when people come to collect tzedakah by my house, sometimes the first thing they do is they show you who they have letters from. They show you that look who's behind me. Sometimes they'll some people who come to collect are smart enough to know which rabbis will be impressed by which other rabbis. So they'll bring me a check from Rav Schechter or something and say, "You see, he gave me money." Of course, he gives away all of his money. But they always try to get support from people in high places. So Korach was no different. Korach, when he was going, he knew what he was doing was major, and he knew what he was doing was going to be scandalous. So in order to do it, he needed support. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph tells us, "Vayakumu lufnei Moshe v'anoshim ibnei Yisrael chamishim u'masayim miyuchadim shebe'eda." That he got people who are really special people. What made them special? They knew how to add a month to the year, how to set Rosh Chodesh. Anshe Shem, they were famous people. Shayilem Shem Bekala Olam, they were world famous people. That's who we got behind him. So we can certainly understand why he needed to gather an impressive group of people. He was doing something important. We understand high stature allies is very good for winning over the masses, for getting a lot of support amongst the masses. The difficulty, though, is if you were setting the criteria of the kinds of people you needed behind you in order to pull off a rebellion like this, so what would the criteria be? You would say, I would want charismatic people. I'd want people who are followed by a lot of other people. Malcolm Gladwell has a whole book about how to start trends, about how trends begin. And you have what they call connectors. It's very important. You have people who are connected to a lot of other people. So that makes sense. But where on the list would be people who know how to decide when Rosh Chodesh is going to happen? You know, any more than any other expertise in halacha. How about shotness checkers? I don't know, people who know any area of halacha. Why is it dafka when Rosh Chodesh is going to happen? People are able to be ma'arber shanim, mechadish chadashim. Very, very difficult. What exactly Korach was angling for over there? That's question one. Question number two. The Medrash elaborates on the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach. And the Medrash reads as follows. Amar le Moshe, gvulos chalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo. Moshe says to Korach, look, Hashem set up certain boundaries in his world. You think you could mix together day and night? No, there's day and there's night. They're two separate entities. Kach hivdil Yisrael min ha'umos, the Medrash goes on to say. Moshe says, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Jew from non-Jew, and also v'kach hivdil Aaron. And he separated Aaron from the rest of us. And that's why Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. So you're coming with a taina that why should Aaron be the Kohen Gadol? You don't come with a taina, why is day different than night? The same way day is different than night, Jews are different from non-Jews, and Aaron is different from everybody else. So I understand why Moshe wants to emphasize that Aaron is different. That addresses Korach's complaint. The difficulty is, why does he emphasize the difference between Jews and non-Jews? Non-Jews has absolutely nothing to do with Korach's complaint. Korach was not championing the cause of why are we so discriminatory against non-Jews and don't let them keep Shabbos or something. That's not what he was there for. He could care less about the non-Jews. He was coming to champion his own cause. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to emphasize the plight, or not the plight, the chiluk, the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? That's kasha number two. Kasha number three. There's a Gemara Maseches Nedarim Daf Lamed Tes and Beis. The Gemara gives us a glimpse of what was going on up in Shemayim with the whole, when Korach and Moshe were debating. The Gemara tells us, "Malamid sha'alu shemesh v'yareach mirakil l'zvul." The sun and the moon went from the rakia to a higher heaven. Va'amru l'fanav, and they went straight in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They said, "Ribbono Shel Olam, imata osa din leben Amram anu me'irim. If you have Moshe Rabbeinu's back and you take care of him right now, then we're going to continue to serve you and we'll shine as scheduled. V'imlav ein anu me'irim." But if you refuse to help Moshe in his time of need right now, then we quit. We're not coming out tomorrow. Ba'osa Shah Yara ben Chitzim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out his bow and arrow, and he says, oh yeah? And he starts shooting arrows at them. Whatever that means. Amar lahem, and he says to them, B'chol yom v'yom ishtachvim lachem v'atem me'irim. Every day, people are bowing to you, treating you as an avodah zarah. And that you don't quit for. That you're willing to keep on serving. B'kvodi lo mechisim. From my kavod, you don't make a macha'a. B'kvod basav adam mechisam. And for Moshe Rabbeinu's covenant, it's worth making a macha, it's worth complaining about. So there were certainly plenty of opportunities for the sun and the moon to take a tough stance in defending Moshe Rabbeinu. Forget about the end of it, about what the answer is. But even l'shitasam, that they wanted to defend Moshe Rabbeinu, was this the greatest fire Moshe Rabbeinu was ever under throughout his career? What about after the Meraglim, Vayilonu al Moshe, people complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomru kol eida lir gomosam ba'avanim. Chazal tells us that means, the Medrash says, reference that they wanted to stone Moshe and Aaron. Why didn't the sun and the moon come and say, Hashem, defend from the people who are upset at them, or we quit? It's dafka over here by Korach. According to Chazal, the people accused Moshe Rabbeinu of stealing their money, of hiding the Shalom Bayis problems, of committing adultery, all at various points in his career. And the sun and the moon were okay, we'll keep on serving. Comes Korach. Why did you make your brother the Kohen Gadol? What? How could he say that? We quit. What was it about that moment? So that's kasha number three. So Yosef Salant and Ber Yosef develops the following yisod. We quoted the sefer earlier this week in Shir. Yosef Salant explains that there's no reasonable way that Korach could have possibly tried to claim that Aaron was not deserving of the Kohuna Gadola. Hashem was sort of maskim to it. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the entire 7 days of the Shavuos Yemei HaMiluim, Moshe Rabbeinu was putting up the Mishkan, taking it down, and the Shekhinah wasn't there. And Klal Yisrael was so embarrassed. Look at all this work we put in, all the effort, all the time, all the money that went into making this Mishkan, and God didn't show up. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, don't worry about it. It's because I'm the one that's doing all the work. You just wait till Aaron takes over. And in fact, Aaron takes over, and as Moshe says, Kedai v'chashuv mimeni. He's more chashuv than I am. Sha'al yedei karbonosav v'avodaso tishra shechina b'chem. That it's through his avodah, his karbonos, that the shechina is going to show up. And that's what happened. Kachava. So what? Korach then comes and says, I don't know if Aaron deserves it. I think he might be doing this on, What are you talking about? Hashem was masking. What was Korach's real taina? God obviously paskin that Aaron was an okay Kohen Gadol. So says the Ber Yosef, Korach's real complaint is that there is a concept in Judaism that does exist in Judaism, that sometimes human beings make decisions and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking to whatever we decide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a certain amount of leeway to make certain decisions. For instance, determining when Rosh Chodesh is. We decide when Pesach is going to be, when Sukkot is going to be. Because if we determine Rosh Chodesh, Beis Nafilu Mutim, even if they make a mistake, the Mishnah says. Still, if we said it, that's what it is. And Kodesh Baruch Hu goes with it. We have the right to determine Rosh Chodesh. We have the right to be Ma'aber Shanim. We change the calendar. We change when Yom Tovim are. These are Dinim Doraisa. And they change based on what we declare. The Yerushalmi and Ksuvus even goes so far as to assume that Bezin can determine whether a girl who's 3 years old, or who would have turned 3 years old, but then Bezin added an extra month into the year, that her Besulim is going to be Chozer for an extra month. That physically, she'll have Besulei Chozim for an extra month. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that way, because if that's what Bezin decided, that she's not 3 years old yet, then she's not 3 years old yet. So it'll still be Besulei Chozim for another month. Gemara tells us Shmuel and Yiftach are mentioned in the same breath because Afilu Kal Shabakalim Vinisman Parnes al Tzibur Hareu Ka'avir Shabavirim. If the Jewish community decides that someone is their leader, then that person matters to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you see that Klal Yisrael has a certain koach. We have a certain ability to not manipulate, but to really get a Kadosh Baruch Hu on our side through our own decisions. So Korach's claim was not that Aaron didn't deserve the Kuna Gadola. It's that the Kuna Gadola was similar to being Kovei Rosh Chodesh. Whatever we would have decided, God would have approved of. If we would have made Korach Kohen Gadol, Korach says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have gone with that also. I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskin that it's okay. He would have paskin that I'm okay too. You don't have to choose Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu made that choice. Korach's time is, why did you make that choice? So who does Korach get to help support him? He gets the people who know how to be ma'aber shanim mechadish chodashim. He says, look what these people do for a living. built into their whole contribution to Klal Yisrael is the notion that we have the right to decide. And then he took his agenda of personal autonomy a step further. And he said, this autonomy, this ability to do whatever we want, isn't only true of Ma'aber Shonim Echadish Chodashim. The Yalka tells us, his stump speech, Almana Achas Haiso B'Shchunasi, Korach gets up and he tells a story. Nebuch, there was an Almana. The Imashtei Naros Yisomos, and she was raising two young girls on her own, her husband had died. V'hayla Sada Achas, and she had one field to her name. Basa Lachros, she went to plow the field. Amr la Moshe, lo tachros b'shar v'chamar. Moshe made a come and says, no, not with the shar and the chamar together. Okay. Basal Izra, she went to plant the field. Amr la, sadchol the scissor klayim. Be careful, don't plant klayim there. Basal liktsar, she went to harvest. V'lasos arma, to make bundles. Amr la, hanichi leket shechopeya. Moshe says, wait, you can't do that either. You got to make sure you have leket shechopeya for the aniyim. Basalas is Goren. She went to process all the grain. Amrla, Tani Truma Maisa Rishim Shani. Got another mitzvah, gotta give. Hitzdika Les Adin Vinasnala. So she gave and she said, okay, you tell me I gotta do. But she was like, I'm sick of this. I can't keep giving and giving and not doing and all these rules. So Machra said she sold the field Vulakha Steak Vassal. She bought two sheep. So that at least she could wear the wool that comes from them, and to get benefit from whatever they produce, even from the children that they bear, even sheyaldu, as soon as they give birth, Aaron comes and says, oh, bechor, firstborn, goes to me. So she said, okay, fine, take it. Okay, well, at least I could shear the sheep. So he goes to shear the sheep, Amrla, Tanili reish sageiz. For shearings, go to me. Sorry. She says, "Ein bikoach lamod beish hazeh. Hareini shochatetan v'chaltan. Let me just slaughter them and eat them. I can't deal with this anymore." So she slaughters it, and Aaron comes along and says, "Sorry, tni hazrav elechayim v'keva. They're matnas kuna. You need to give me from the slaughtered animals." Afilu achas shochateti lo nitzalti miado. He's after me for everything. I declare they are a cherem on me. So Aaron says, good, now they're all mine, because kol cherem b'Yisrael, l'cha yiyah, it all goes to the Kohanim. She goes off and she cries, and this is Korach's speech. What's he trying to do with this speech? What he's trying to say is that just like we have the right to make certain decisions about Rosh Chodesh and about other, we could decide on mitzvahs also. Sometimes, when the time calls for it, and we feel like, we need a little extra sensitivity, so we could throw away this mitzvah, that mitzvah, the other mitzvah, we can get rid of them. And of course, Baruch will understand. He wants to take care of the almana just like a normal, sensitive person would want to. So drop all the mitzvahs. So now it's not just personal autonomy, it's mitzvahs. He tried to paint Judaism as this elitist religion, where all we're doing is supporting Kohanim all day. And he says, no, all men are created equal. And we have to fight for equality. Which, taken to its logical conclusion, denies the uniqueness of any man. Because everybody's exactly the same. But the reality in Judaism is that there are certain things that are non-negotiable. There is a woman who's very, very big in the feminist movement. I want to say the Orthodox feminist movement, somewhere in between Orthodox and whatever feminist movement. We used to always say, if there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. That was like the mantra. If there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. When the rabbis want to do something, they could do it. They'll find a way in halacha. We do not believe that that is true. There could be a rabbinic will on being koveh l'chodesh, there's a halachic way. There can't be a rabbinic will to do away with leket shechupei or resh sagez, and there's no halachic way. We can't undo the hierarchy of kahuna. There's no halachic way. Just as a good parent will allow room for choices and will be willing to go along with certain choices their child makes on certain issues, even though they don't necessarily agree with them. But there are other choices where they draw the lines and they say, no, not under my roof. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us certain autonomy, but he draws some lines for us also. The symbols of God's control over the world are the sun and the moon. Man cannot manipulate the beginning and end of days. Months can be in our hands. Yom and Laila are not in our hands. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. Shabbos is always Shabbos. So the sun and the moon threaten. They say, we're not going to work. Look what this guy's trying to do. He's trying to say, everything's a choice. Everything's in man's hands. What about our job? Our job is in your hands, God. Dafke here, the sun and the moon, come with a taina. The message of the sun and the moon was being completely undermined by Korach. The whole message of the sun and the moon is that there are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls. Now God says, you should have taken strong stances when on other attacks of the Ribono Shel Olam, like every time someone bows down to you. But you see why they didn't do it. It wasn't about defending Moshe per se. It was about addressing the taanos of Korach. It's a very, very important hashkafa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does allow us to make certain choices in life. But we work within a framework. And when we step outside of that framework, we're stepping outside of the choices that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be able to have.